Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Father, we thank you again tonight in the name of the Lord Jesus. Thank you for the time of rejoicing in your presence, the fullness of joy.
Amen.
At the right hand, Lord, our presence forevermore.
Amen.
And because your presence is always in the midst of your people, that I will have the joy of the Lord. I will have the peace of God that passes all understanding. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord God, for being our meet again to bless. We have been blessed already. Praise the Lord. And we need to bless us the more. Father, thank you. And we worship you. In Jesus' name, Father, we thank you.
Amen.
Praise the Lord Jesus. Well, it's like a consensus. In a consensus manner last week. And we say, well, before we leave the 14th chapter, that we talk about the qualification for the first fruit. And even your brother, that brother said that even he was thinking about the same thing, maybe he was just along the same line. So I just say, well, let's just do that. Praise the Lord. So qualification for the first fruit. So and you know, it turns out that in the Bible, even beginning from the Jews. The Jews believe in the second coming of they believe in the coming of the Messiah. But they could not understand that the coming of the Messiah is in two stages.
Yes.
You see, they didn't know that, you know. And now they miss it, plumb like they just miss it, you know. And and those two stages, you know, is paced by a long period of time. Yet they are read the scroll of Isaiah, right? So we come like in Isaiah 7:14, it says so, right?
Yes.
The Lord himself shall give you a sign. But he told them, right in their scrolls, right? The Lord himself shall give you a sign. A virgin shall conceive, right? And it shall bear his son, you know, as long as you know, and it shall call his name Emmanuel, God with us. They read Isaiah 9:6, amen. Unto us a child is born. Unto us a son is given. And the rest of them, they couldn't just figure it out. They were blinded. Praise the Lord. So anyway, so and had to be a long period between the two coming of the Lord to death the Messiah. They didn't see that way, you know. So his first advent as a babe in Bethlehem and his second advent in glory. They didn't know that, you know. So similarly, many Christians today don't read the Bible. And that's the way we read it. We think that the coming of the Lord is just a singular event, the second coming. They think it's a singular event. But when we read between the lines in the Bible, it is obvious that it is a succession of events, really, not just one event. Second coming of the Lord and so on. So we can quickly see the different comings of the Lord, the second coming, want to put them together in one. We know there is a coming of his coming to rapture the bride. We call it the pre-tribulation rapture, you know. And there are many Bible verses to that and so on. And I always like the Revelation 4:1, you know. So since the book of Revelation, talk about that one in Revelation 4:1. And it said, after this I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven. And the fourth voice which I heard was as it were of a trumpet talking with me, which said, come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter. That's how after the church ages and so forth, the next thing we see that's bad, as we see in the Bible and so forth. So that's one, that's the pre-rapture, the tribulation coming of the Lord and so forth for the first fruit. There is also it's appearing in glory when it has gathered the tribulation saints. That is the post-tribulation harvest. That is in the chapter we were studying all along in the 14th chapter of the book of Revelation. Just to refresh our mind, the 14th verse of Revelation 14. And I looked, and behold, a white cloud. And upon the cloud one sat like unto the Son of Man, having in on his head a golden crown, and in his hand a sharp sickle. And another angel came out of the temple, crying with a loud voice to him that sat on the cloud, thrusting that sickle, and reap. For the time is come for thee to reap, for the harvest of the earth is ripe. And he that sat on the cloud, thrusting his sickle on the earth, and the earth was reaped. So that coming of the Lord for the tribulation saints is called the harvest of the earth. And the Lord already related to us in Matthew 24, the same thing, verse 29 to about 31, which I quickly go over that one. So the Bible says, immediately after the tribulation of those days, shall the sun be darkened and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heaven shall be shaken. In our walking through the book of Revelation, we know this event is what separates the great tribulation from the great day of the Lord, that darkening of the sun and the moon. Praise the Lord. And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. And then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with great power and great glory. And he shall send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet. See? And they shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. So we see that the post-rapture event and so forth, the post-tribulation, you know, gathering of the saints, tribulation saints and so forth. And here there is another coming of the Lord too. Number three of the coming of the Lord. So, and at that time, his feet shall touch the Mount of Olives at the Battle of Armageddon. Zechariah the prophet, the 14th chapter, the 3rd verse, says this. Then shall the Lord go forth and fight against those nations, as when he falls in the day of battle. And his feet shall stand in that day upon the Mount of Olives, which is before Jerusalem on the east. And the Mount of Olives shall cleave in the midst thereof toward the east and toward the west. And there shall be a very great valley, and half of the mountain shall remove toward the north, and half of it toward the south. So we see the Bible cut, you know, implicitly just put them there like that, you know, the different comings of the Lord and so on, like that, you know. So just to go over that and so forth. Well, back to our subject tonight, who are the first fruits? Who are the first fruit rapture? Well, over the ages, very often, all the time, sectarianism plus prejudice and tradition have entered into the discussion of this question of who are the first fruit rapture. You have sectarianism there, have their own opinion, prejudice and so forth, and tradition and so forth, and that, you know, trying to see who this first fruit rapture appertains to and so forth, that, you know. Well, to really answer the question, that question can only be answered in the light of what the scripture teaches. Praise the Lord. That is the only way to get the answer, the Holy Ghost answer, God's answer to any question at all. That will be in the scripture. So we must avoid, for example, adding qualifications which the scriptures do not require. Amen. If you hear anything about this group that the Bible doesn't require, then I will stay away from it. Or to make a restriction that the Lord does not make about this group. Amen. I want to get away from that, you know. On the other hand too, you know, we should not encourage people in false hopes. Amen. Praise the Lord. In false hopes which can never materialize because they are contrary to the word, you know, and which will only result in disillusionment and disappointment when the time comes. So where are the safe ground? The safe ground is, as long as we are in the word of God, we are on the safe ground. Amen. That is the approach we take tonight. Praise the Lord. In defining the qualification of the first fruit, that to be out of the scripture, or it to be invalid, you know. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And also in passing, there are many views of the rapture, two popular opinions and so on. There are some people who believe that the call of God is coming. Thank God, I believe that not such a person here tonight, but it's all over the place. And it's open. The idea that we should just withdraw ourselves into a corner, you know, and wait for the Lord to come. And well, that's an altogether erroneous and unscriptural and dangerous proposition, you know. Amen. Just go and sit down somewhere and wait for the coming of the Lord. No, that's not right. That would be like the unfaithful servant who buries his talent, you know. The Great Commission to evangelize the world still stands. Praise the Lord. Even when we are gone, the gospel goes on. We read before in 14 of Revelation. So, and that's one thing. So, there's no such a thing like that. That's dangerous proposition to just go to one corner and so on, that, you know. And so, also, we should not get the impression that the first fruit rapture is reserved for ministers with special abilities to sway audiences. Oh, they can draw great audiences and so on. So the first which, those are the people that the first which is reserved for. No, that's a wrong opinion. Nor for the saints who have outstanding talents or gifts, you know, or those who are in some way or another happen to be in the forefront. That's not true. It's not reserved where they are there. Thank God for how God has used them, but they are not the only one in the first fruit. Praise the Lord. You have to be careful about that and so on. So indeed, all those people who are in the first front and the land night, they are the ones that have the greatest temptation. And need to be at alert, amen. The more you are used of God, the more you have to be very careful. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So let's clear that ground and so on and that. So the first fruits are not a company that is reserved for people who have attained unusual prominence. Yeah, they will be there, but not for them only who have achieved, you know, unusual prominence and some of that, you know. But it consists of those who in their consecration have withheld nothing from the Lord, amen? Amen. Whether they are in prominence or not, see, in their calling, they have withheld nothing from the Lord. Talking about the qualification right now, so we are going through it and so on. These people, they have honestly sought God's will for their life. Whether it be in humble walk with the Lord, or whether it be in the limelight, you see, doesn't matter. And I be both people in that group, amen. So I could just call humbly, but I give all to the Lord, and some of that, you know. And they have dedicated themselves once and for all, you see, to the absolute will of God. See? And it is faithfulness to God's word that will count in the end, amen. How faithful we are to the word of God and the promise of God. Praise the Lord. The qualifications as we go around this now and so on. Now, the first fruits, what are the first fruits mean? Even in farming, right? The first fruit of a harvest is that part of it that ripens forth, right? That's the first fruit. Praise God. So you have an orange tree, you have a guava tree, you have an orange tree and so on, you have a tomato and so on. They don't all ripe at the same time, do they? So, not so. So, there are some that's ripening forth, you know? So, in the body of Christ, who are those that's ripening forth? So, some things, they mature faster than the others. Some learn their lessons before others, amen? We all going through school here, eh? Praise in this world, praise God. In getting ready for the coming of the Lord. So, some people learn faster and their lessons before others. Their attitude will not be merely to hold on to the end, just to hold on to the end. Or some Christian heart that is, okay, oh, just to escape hell. Thank God for that, praise the Lord. But it is more than that, praise the Lord. That's just the beginning. I mean, that's just the beginning. Praise God. We are saved and all that, you know. We know that hell is made for the devil and his angels. Amen. Blessed be the name of the Lord. So, but the fourth fruit rapture, they go beyond all those things, you know. They realize that there is a price to be won. Amen. Over and above our Christian heritage and so on, escaping hell, praise God and everything like that, you know. This fourth fruit, they realize that there is a price to be won and glory to be revealed, you know. They be like Apostle Paul. The Bible says that it's a pattern to all them who will believe after him, right? Let's see what in Philippians 3, what the apostle said of himself. Then we can make it to learn now, in verse 13 now. So, far beyond salvation, thank God for salvation, is the foundation of everything, right? So, in Philippians 3, 13, part of that verse says, forgetting those things which are behind, see, and reaching forth unto those things which are before. That is a very, very important quality. You see how many things the things of the past drag us down. Philippians 3. So, verse 13, you know, I'm reading from there, you know, part of it. I didn't have it again, just part of that verse. So, you know, so you won't know how many times things of the past, especially those things that are not pleasant, drag us back and tie up our minds, right? No, but I've learned, he learned his lesson quickly and he's teaching us. Forget those things, amen? As I depart and so on, you know. Anyway, so verse 14 says, now, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. So he knew far and over above salvation that the prize will be won, amen? Praise the Lord. And that is all the first people we know that one. So what is the prize for him and for all of us now? It's in verse 11. According to if by any means I might attain to the resurrection of the dead, where some margin put it as the after resurrection, amen. resurrection from among the dead, which means when he's resurrected, some dead will still be left. They are Christians, they will still be left. Amen. There are different categories of resurrection, like we said before the other time. So that was a price. So he knew it and he put everything he had got into it. So that's the quality, also about the quality of the first fruits. So so the first fruits recognize these things and they plunge into the race. You know, they put all they have into this battle, and to win the contest, they become the first part of the harvest. Amen. They put everything in there. See, and that's like, you know, one thing we can talk about. Like the Bible shows example in the Bible too. Enoch, the first, what to be translated as far as we know in the Bible record and so forth, the first fruit will walk with God. Amen. Qualification of the first fruit. They will walk with God like Enoch. You know, in Genesis 5:24, Bible says, and Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. Why will God mention why God took him? You see, you know, because he walked with God. For example, you know, as what we qualify the first fruit, and in Hebrews 11:5, we are given further information of how and why this man was translated. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found, because God has translated him. For before his translation, he had his testimony that he pleased God. Right there and then, we see another quality of the first fruit. Amen? He must please God, working to please God. Now, look at the next verse now. Very, very important also. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. So what does that mean to us? It means that the price of the first fruit is to be attained through faith. Amen? Amen. Through faith. Praise God. Amen. We can never be ready for the first fruit rapture by mere human effort. Amen? Can be. You know? That is through faith. It is a faith experience. That's why God put it there. Praise the Lord. You walk with God and then you have faith. You know, by faith, you have faith. So, before our translation, we must have the testimony of Enoch. Amen? You must have the same testimony that Enoch has. That's why God puts in the Bible like that, in two places in the Bible. So, let us, God, because He loves us, He shared all the secrets of being not missing that first fruit. Amen? Praise the Lord. So, our discussion in this forum as well is a chain of God. You know, God opened our eyes, give us understanding how not to miss it. Praise the Lord. Now, the first fruit with intercessors, amen? Amen? Praise God. The first fruit with intercessors. And we have one like that in the Bible who was translated. Elijah the prophet, you know, who was translated, was above all a man of prayer. Praise God. So also the New Testament scripture gives an example of his prayer ministry. Yes, because it's important. How come? Enough, Old Testament. Then, New Testament talks about him. Elijah, Old Testament, translator say, New Testament talks about him. The most important about them, amen. Praise the Lord. That tells us what we need, you know. So we see Elijah. So the New Testament scripture gives example of his prayer ministry. In James 5:17, here's what the New Testament says about this Elijah the prophet. Elijah was a man subject to like passions as we are. And he prayed earnestly. See? That it might not rain. And it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth fruit. So we see the prayer life of Noah, he was translated, and he was an intercessor, you know, and the Bible brings him out right there. The Lord Himself said in our familiar scripture in Luke 21:36, talking about prayer, and I think that the first fruit must be intercessors, right? So they have a rigid and a solid prayer life. And the Lord said in Luke 21:36, as we always read there all the time, watch ye therefore and pray always, that ye may be accounted worthy to escape these things that are coming to pass, and to stand before the Son of Man. That will be the first fruit, really. But the Lord is saying right there, you know. So because what are we escaping here? The great tribulation, amen. Praise the Lord. Now the Lord is saying, blessed be the name of the Lord. So they are intercessors, the first fruit and so forth. The first fruit are going to be prayer warriors. Amen? People who have dedicated themselves to making prayer a business in their life. They have to be. I won't be surprised If Daniel was one of the in the 7th of Matthew, that was the Old Testament first fruit, right? Praise the Lord. I want to be told, if Daniel was there, was the intercessor, right? Praise the Lord. God didn't name them there, but I believe he'll be there and so on, that you know. So anyway, so a prayerless life is not going to be ready when the voice as a trumpet calls, saying, come up hither. So a prayerless life won't be ready at that time. So like Revelation 4:1, where he made the call for the rapture and so forth, you know. When the Lord, through the book, showing the power of, you know, the importance of prayer, and the Lord even put it there in 21 of Luke, why it is so important. We just simply follow his instructions, simple instructions. Bible talks about the simplicity of the gospel, amen? Amen. No complication to these things, amen? And the Lord even taught us, he said that, look, my yoke is easy, my burden is light. Praise the Lord. Learn of me, I'm meek, I'm lowly in heart. Praise the Lord Jesus. So that's why we don't put anything, any restriction God has not put to this thing, we won't put it there, amen? We just bring it out from the Bible and that's what will make us to make it. See? Just follow the instruction. So anyway, so but the Lord took the book to open the seals thereof and repossess the earth. The fourth act of the 24 elders was what? Was to take into their hands the vials of the prayer of the saints, amen? The importance of prayer, praise God, or a prayer life. That's in Revelation 5:8 now. And when he had taken the book, the four beasts and four and 20 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors. What are those odors? Which are the prayers of the saints, amen? See the importance of it now? See, praise God. Not only that, the prayers of all the saints were offered on the altar unto God in Revelation 8:3, which I will also read right now. So they will be intercessors. As you have been doing it, you are already in it, continue. It's just part of the thing, of the qualification. Praise God. And God help us to endure to the end. Amen. If you are already doing these things, and which I know one of those who are doing this thing, we will continue there until the coming of the Lord. Amen. So in Revelation 8:3, and another angel came and stood at the altar, having a golden censer. And there was given unto him much incense, that he should offer it with the prayers of all saints upon the golden altar which was before the throne. Can you see how much more God put value in your prayers and my prayers? Amen. He stood there, he took time to have them stored up, you know. And verse 4 says, and the smoke of the incense which came with the prayers of the saints ascended all before God out of the angel's hand. That makes me to want to pray all the time, amen? It's not wasted, you know, and so on that. It's stored up, you know. And what follows is immediately after that, there begin to fall the trumpet judgment, amen? Where did that one before, you know? Judgment came, the purpose of which is to bring judgment upon the earth, preparatory to the ushering in of the reign of righteousness that the Lord will bring. Praise the Lord. The prayer of the saints has to do with it, you know. So how blessed it is to be a prayer warrior for the Lord and so forth. And the Lord taught us to pray, thy kingdom come, amen. See? God's kingdom must come as a result of this prayer. Could he have done it without us? Absolutely, amen. Where were you? We are when I laid the foundation of the earth, amen. Where were you? You know, I had the people asking Job, praise the Lord. Could have done without us, but he involved us, amen? Amen. Because we are people, so he involved us in this thing. And so it's a joyful thing that the king should involve us, amen? Co-laborers together with the Lord, praise the Lord. So God's kingdom must come as a result of this prayer and so forth. Hence, we may say with certainty that the first fruits rapture will include those who have made again prayer a regular ministry in their life, you know. So, in passing this prayer thing, I won't say that, I mean, it is not easy to wrestle against principalities and powers. Yes, we can all do it by God's grace, amen. Amen. God will never ask you to do what you can never do, amen. We can all do it, praise the Lord. So, I put a comment here. Lazy saints, who shrink from me will not be in the first fruit. That's simple, praise God. So they won't be praying, say, Lord, I can't be worthy to escape these things, you know. So anyway, and we are saying Ephesians 6, what I'm saying right now, verse 12. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. How many times we forget these things, amen? There is wrestling in prayer, we know, praise God. There are all kinds of prayers too, you know. But here are the things we are up against as children of God. But by the grace of God and the indwelling Holy Spirit and so forth, that, you know, we are marching on. Unstoppable, praise the Lord. So, one of the tasks of the Most High Company, for example, will be to assist in displacing Satan and his angels from the heavenly, their last hold, amen. Praise the Lord. That is Revelation 12, 5 to 11. I won't read that one, but it's in there. So, right in 12 or Revelation 12, 5 to 11, you see the Most High involved in the assisting of displacing Satan and his angels from the heavenly. So the question comes now, so how could these things be of help at that time if they have not learned how to war against Satan in the heavenly, in their heavenly work, amen? No. Praise the Lord. Right now we are doing it by the grace of God, because we are against all this, you know, Bible says spiritual wickedness in the heavenly place and so on, the rulers of the darkness of this world, you know, and so on, that, you know, and the spiritual wickedness. And that's what we are warning against most of the time and so forth. You know, Daniel did it, amen. Daniel did it, praise God. 21 days he was there, unmovable, amen. Praise God, praise the Lord. And I always say, God will send reinforcement, praise God. You know, Satan will come to his end, amen. They can't fight forever, and God will send reinforcement and show that with the Lord. So, anyway, now, the 144,000 in Revelation 14, we are told specifically that they are of the first fruit unto God. If that be so, and it is according to the Bible, we are to look about some things, some qualities that the Bible says this 144,000 has, right? Bible says they are the first fruit, right? Then we have to learn something from there. So what they have must be part of the quality of the first fruit saints. Praise the Lord. So let's see that in Revelation quickly, 14, where we were before. So so verse 5 says of them. And in their mouth was found no guile, amen. So that is one of the qualification of those who will be in the first fruit rapture. Because the Bible says so, you know. Today, alas, in the church today, the church world, this cannot be said of all professing Christians, that they have no guile in their mouth. Can't be said of all professing Christians today. Very, very terrible. So what is a guile? Guile speaks of cunning, dangerousness, and trickiness, and subtlety. See, that what guy means, really, you know. We must confess today, and it's true, there is great deal of this among carnal Christians today. All kind of things are that, you know, in the body of Christ as well. But be there, you know, see, that we unqualify anybody for being in this false food. Because the Bible says, specifically, this false food has no guile in their mouth. Praise the Lord. Then those who are aspiring to this thing must also deal away with, you know, with all kind of guy. Praise the Lord. See? So, and not only that, in Christendom today, the world church, there is joking for promotion, for example, for position, even in the church. It's killing like Jacob of old for advantage, even in money matters. Praise the Lord. It's there out there, we know, you know, usually. Well, not outright, you know, this I'm talking about, not outright falsehood. But even today, they even do it, they don't even care. You know, it's false and all that, you know, and they are Christians and all that, and they are doing that, you know. But actions are performed with intent to deceive, you know. Even among the body of Christ, it ought not to be so. So in heaven, there is no concealment, amen? There is no concealment in heaven at all. And the sooner God's children learn this lesson, the sooner they will be ready for the first fruit company. Praise the Lord. So, open and all that. The scriptures gave us a sermon on the potential for good or evil of the tongue. Amen? This tongue, Bible wrote about it, amen? That we're mindful of it, you know? Praise the Lord. It put us into so many, many troubles. We have to watch out. Let's get the Bible for it. So, God gave us a sermon on the tongue. In James 3, Verse 6. I heard what the Bible says by the tongue. And the tongue is a fire, a word of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defiled the whole body, and set it on fire the cause of nation, and it is set on the fire of hell. What description? Praise the Lord. And we don't have to pay attention to this thing. What we say, you know, get out of trouble is meaning keeping your tongue, amen? Praise the Lord. And let the Holy Ghost guide you and me. It says in James 3:2 also, and warning us, for in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man, and able to bridle the whole body. Praise the Lord. And be very careful, because part of the quality of the false fruit is that there is no guile in their mouth. See? So, and the Lord even told us in John, in Matthew 5:37, the Lord said it, let your communication be yea, yea, nay, nay. For whatsoever is more than this, cometh of evil. Amen? Praise the Lord. Can you see the Lord talk about it? The Holy Ghost, by the apostles, spoke about it. And the quality of the false fruit. So wash our tongue, you know. No girl at all. Now, the Lord commend one of the disciples. His name was Nathanael. Praise the Lord. See? Hear what the Lord said about him. So, and he was like a, a shy person. Nathanael was a shy person, and And in John 1:47, hear what the Lord said about him. Jesus saw Nathanael coming to him and said unto him, behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom is no guile. Praise the Lord. The Lord picked that attribute. Why? Of all the attributes of this man, no guile. Praise the Lord. So that's what I'm talking about. So they have that quality. There will be no guile in their mouth. See? So that's another one. The first fruit will be virgins unto God. They are Nazarenes to the Lord. You know, if you want to call them Nazarenes and so forth. You know, we went through that before in Revelation 14, verse 4. Part of the quality of this 144,000, Bible calling the first fruit and so on, or part of the first fruit. So, in verse 4 of Revelation 14, these are they which were not defiled with women, for they are virgins. We went at length to mention that what does it really mean, spiritually speaking and so forth. So, as we discussed earlier in our lessons, this has no reference to the married life at all, upon which God has put a blessing. Marriage is honorable in all, amen? And the bed is undefiled. Praise the Lord. So it couldn't have been talking about marriage life and something like that here in this way. Rather, the time virgin speaks of separation from the world, amen? And unto God, the Nazarene life. The believer has been presented as a chaste virgin unto Christ, which I always like to read 2 Corinthians 11:2. For I am jealous over you with godly jealousy. The apostle was writing to the church at Corinth and to all of us. For I have espoused you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. So that's what he's talking about. And the Christian, apparently for this first fruiting, must not violate its vow of separation to the Lord. Amen. Must keep that vow. See? And the Christian who enters an affinity with the world commits spiritual adultery. That's simple. Praise the Lord. So, what's that? The book of James tells us in James 4:4. And it told them, rebuking those who are involved in that. Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is an enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. Amen? We cannot have God and mammon and the world and so on. Praise the Lord. So, that's what he's talking about here. They are virgins. They are separate from the world and so on. That, worldliness, sorry to say, has served the power of many a Christian. It is true. It is the prevalent sin of the lukewarm Laodicean church. The terrible sin of the Laodicean church. The love of the world produces lukewarmness to Christ. today, a flood of worldliness, which is spiritual adultery, like we said before, is seeking admission, or is even has entered into the church world, truly. Little by little, see, it's gaining entrance and undermining the spiritual foundation of the world church. And the Bible warns us in 1 John 2:15 about these things also. You know, what did he say in John? 1 John 2:15 said, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Praise the Lord. The first fruit, qualification, as well as you know. So, we can mention many things about this worldly thing and so forth. Things like the theater, the movie house, the dance hall, the public places of amusement, in general, to name a few, are of the spirit of this world. Those who are among the first fruits, rapture, will not be found in these places when the Lord comes. Amen? Praise the Lord. So, they are virgin, you know, separated from the world and some of that, you know. Now, let's quickly begin to wrap this up now. So, let's go to the positive side of things and so on. So, we know that, Bible says in Revelation 14, these are they which follow the Lamb whithersoever he goeth. So this qualification obviously speaks of bride ship as well as that, you know. The wife follows her husband wherever his work carries him. Not so much this day, but that is the truth in general, amen. Praise the Lord. I know things happen today and so on. And if this company follows Christ wherever he goes in heaven, they must have learned to follow his footsteps on earth first. Amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. So it's true, you know. So and I like 1 John 2:6, where it says, he that seeth, he abideth in him, ought himself also to walk, even as he walks. Praise the Lord. Now, those who will be of the bride of Christ, the first fruits unto God, will follow Christ in his suffering, in his temptation. That's how you go through the temptation all the day and so on. Blessed is the man that endures temptation, amen. When he strives, he shall receive the crown of life, amen. He doesn't give up in temptation, praise the Lord. So, and follow the Christ in his labor of love for the lost. Follow the Lord Jesus in his prayer life. And follow the Lord in his consecration to the will of the Father. As Christ came down from heaven to do the will of the Father, so we should be willing to forsake all that we might win Christ, like the apostle said, and so forth. We know the Lord Jesus Christ came to this world to be a missionary, to redeem lost humanity. You say a missionary, yes. Who is a missionary? Is the apostle, amen. Praise the Lord. Another word for the apostle is a missionary. So Christ an apostle, yes. In Hebrews 3:1, let me just talk to you now. Wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus, amen. Praise the Lord. So we see that here. So he came to this world as a missionary, an apostle, to redeem the lost humanity, right? So we too must consider the supreme work of our life is helping to get the gospel out to the nations, amen? In whichever form God will call you, amen? Don't forget that it's a humble work with God. People working with, you know, people are out there in the forefront and some of that, you know, but God has something for you to and I to do. If your calling is as easy, that's something I do for the kingdom of God, amen? But you are eager, you are hungry to get the gospel out to the nations. Praise the Lord. That's why, because in Matthew 24:14, it says this, and this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. So what it means that world evangelism is necessary to bring back the king, amen? Praise the Lord. It is, but it says that there shall the end come. So, therefore, those who do not have the vision could hardly claim to be a member of the bride when the Lord comes. We must have the hunger had a vision for world evangelism. Praise the Lord. See? And there are so many ways can be done and so on. The personal witnessing and so on. You know, that will find out the perfect will of God for our life in this great work. The effort is precious. Amen. The laborers are few. Praise the Lord. Now, I'll finish off here. The bride of Christ are those who have responded to Christ's call for bridehood. See, this first fruit. They have responded to Christ's call for bridehood. And in Ephesians 5, give us an insight. Verse 25, I just read some portion of the verses. It says in Ephesians 5, 25, Christ also loved the church. Then I jump to 27 verse. That he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. Then I jump to verse 31. For this cause shall a man leave his father and his mother, and shall be joined to his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. So, there are two sides to a courtship, right? This courtship with Christ, there are two sides to it. The first one is this. Christ first sought us out and gave himself for us. That's one side of the coin. Second side is this. We respond by letting his redeeming grace transform us into his likeness. Amen?
Amen.
These are the two sides of the coin. Praise the Lord. And two places. Where? Talking about being transformed. 2 Corinthians 3 verse 18 tells us that. But we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. Praise God. So the color of the bride, even in the Old Testament, the Bible indicated the color of the bride in Psalm 45. Verses 10 and 11, we can quickly read it. So we are talking about these first fruits have responded to Christ's call for bridehood. So in Psalm 45, we lack a lot of lessons there. You know, verse 10 and 11 says, hearken, O daughter, and consider and incline thine ear. Forget also thy own people and thy father's house. So shall the king greatly desire thy beauty. For he is thy Lord, and worship thou him. In that chapter, there is the queen and so forth. There are those of our companions, in it. Even right in that, you know, that chapter, you know, the Bible showed the bride, and then the companions, like you had the bride of Christ, and then you know, those are you know, the other people and so on. That, you know. Anyway, so the true bride will be those who respond to this call. There is something for the bride to do. You know, what is it? She is willing to forget her own people. In it. Bible says in that psalm, that psalm, like Rebecca was a type. In it. Praise the Lord. It was a type. They ask her, will you go? Say, are we? In it. Are we go? Praise the Lord. It was a type of that bride. Are we go? Going to a place I've never been before. In it. Praise the Lord. So, in finishing, brethren, finishing up here, it is a glorious and thrilling possibility to be among the first fruit unto God. To have the privilege of following the Lamb throughout eternity, talking about eternity now, see? Shall we not, therefore, as Paul did, run the race set before us? Shall we not emulate that great apostle who pressed forward for the prize? You know, that's why the Bible made him, the Lord made him to write it to us. They who will be among that privileged first fruit will be those who, like Paul, count all things lost that they might win Christ. What a challenge before the church today. So in Philippians 3, the last one of the things I want to read, Philippians 3, 7. But what things were gained to me, those are counted loss for Christ. But yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, he said, and don't count them but dung, that I may win Christ. Amen. God shows a perfect example of the person who was longing with everything within him to be the first fruit. Praise the Lord. And God is not leading us in darkness. So in finishing out tonight, don't let us forget. I know God is sharing all these things and reminding us so that we don't miss the prize. So he has told us in Luke chapter 32, fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. So it is his will. Then he gave us these instructions and so forth. The way not to miss it really. You know, even in Daniel, in the book of Daniel 7:18, the last scripture, I'm sorry. But the saints of the Most High shall take the kingdom and possess the kingdom forever, even forever and ever. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. So all that is saying to us in this thing that look, children, my children, speak to us as his children. Don't miss it. It's simple. Just in my word. Don't let anybody add any more restriction to you. And don't let any man cajole you. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Just follow the simple instruction of the Lord. Heavenly Father, we thank you tonight. We worship you, Lord. We glorify thy name. Thank you for even letting us know the different comings of the Lord. Lord, that the world church knows nothing about. It has pleased you, Lord, to help us to understand this thing. And you have given us the instruction, instructing us, know the way, how not to miss that which you have preordained us to before the foundation of the world. So we give you all the glory and all the praise tonight, Lord, in the name of the Lord Jesus.
Amen.
Lord, as we go tonight, Father, Lord, so we see all these things, Lord, as we study the word of God, that Lord, we be all that keep the word of God.
Amen.
Lord, it is faithfulness to your word that counts, Lord, that we love not our life unto even death, Lord, but we lay down everything for you, Lord, not holding anything back from the Lord. We thank you for helping us understand the scriptures tonight. And we pray for our fellow brethren all over the world, O Lord God, whom you have preordained, Lord, to this first spiritual rapture, Lord, that the eye of our understanding all may be enlightened and be opened to this truth as we near your coming. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Father, we thank you again. We worship and we adore you, Lord. Father, in Jesus' name, our Lord, we pray.
Amen.
Praise the Lord Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Blessed be the name of the Lord. There you go, bro. So, brother, know that the prayer request. Amen.